Gen 5 will fix your period while empowering you to take your hormonal health into your hands. And when I started this podcast, I simply knew I had to speak with her because so many of us are struggling to get our hormones together. And if our hormones aren't tight, a glow up is impossible. So with that, let's talk about it. Not once, but twice did I get a call during this episode. So I apologize in advance for the audio cutouts that you might hear. But other than that, this episode is a whole entire bop. Now, welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited about this episode. I was just saying to today's host how excited I am. And first, I just want to thank you for being here because you truly are, I would say, like, period famous on Instagram these days, and even thyroid famous too, I would say. And so when I decided I wanted to do this podcast, I was like, you were like on my list. I'm so glad you're here. So I said in your intro that you like will fix people's periods, you'll fix their lives. So, but people come to this kind of career through like their own experience generally. So tell us about your health glow up. Tell the story of Jen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I never thought my claim to fame would be periods. I'll take it. I'll take what I can get. So, you know, my kind of health journey, I guess, started when I was really, really young. So, it actually started more so, I guess my like introduction into health was when my mom got sick when I was 10. And then my dad got sick when I was about 13, 14. And so growing up, I kind of was like very hyper aware of health, and more specifically hyper aware of poor health and how it affects your entire life, right? Not only your family life and your own life and your energy and all that kind of stuff, but your financial life, right? And your career and all those types of things. So again, I feel like I had this insight into a lot of people. Maybe it's more common now, but a lot of people don't quite have that. And then when I started kind of experiencing more of the poor health markers was when I was about 14, 15. I think I was in grade 9 and I had really, really heavy periods, really painful periods as well. And there was definitely a social aspect to it too, because all my friends were on birth control and, you know, you want to fit in at that age, as ridiculous as that is looking back. And so I begged my mom to go on the pill. I just remember trying to convince her. Yeah. And she finally caved and I got that prescription and never looked back, never looked into it as a child wouldn't.
Totally. You know? And they make the instructions so crazy. No one's reading those.
No, especially a 14-year-old girl. No. Like, I'm reading my MySpace bio. I'm not reading.
Yes.
So, I was on the pill through my whole teenage years, through my early adulthood too. And when I was 21, I just decided to quit cold turkey. I gave myself this 7-year mark, quit cold turkey. And then that's when a lot of the health issues really started, where I started losing my hair in clumps. I thought I was dying. I was getting acne, really, really terrible digestive issues, like severe constipation, constantly in pain, like stomach aches. And I had ovarian cysts that were bursting. I had high-grade cervical dysplasia from 18 all the way to 24. I was getting biopsies on my cervix every 6 months. I was diagnosed with fatty liver disease at 24.
Oh my God.
Like, it was just one thing after another. At 27, I was diagnosed with hypothyroid and Hashimoto's. So it was just one thing after another. And it really scared the shit out of me. I swear.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
Scared the shit out of me because obviously I saw my parents' health decline so quickly and how that impacted our life. And I was just, it scared me the other way. A lot of people take on their parents, I guess, lifestyle habits, poor lifestyle habits. And I was just like, no, I will not let that be me. I'm very tenacious and I'm a Virgo. So that says it all.
But oh yeah. Beyonce. Like,
Yeah, exactly. Snake was stubborn. So I was like, no, this is not going to be me. And so when I was probably about 22 is when I really started kind of diving in more to the alternative modality type things. Like, you know, it started with essential oils and then it kind of built off that. And yeah, so that was a very big driver in what I do today.
Amazing. Wow. It's like all hell was breaking loose at one point, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's how it is for a lot of women. You know, they get off the pill and then they're like, what is happening? Like, it's a spiral. And you just, some people just don't have the access to the information or maybe the tenacity to be able to get to the bottom of it. So they kind of just like live like that, which is kind of sad.
No, totally. It becomes your baseline, doesn't it?
Yeah, you have to, I say that all the time in this house, you have to raise your like wellness baseline so that, you know, like feeling, it's just not, you always want to feel good, elevated. Wow. I love that you said that. So it seems like everyone's thyroid is messed up right now. Everyone I talked to when I said I was talking to you was like, ask about thyroid stuff. So is it just that the diagnostics are better now? Or is it that things have gotten worse over time?
Well, you know, what's interesting is I feel like there's so many different reasons for this. Of course, our lifestyle, you know, thyroid issues. I work with a lot of women with thyroid issues. And of course, you know, healed my thyroid. I'm no longer hypothyroid. But I work with a lot of women who are dealing with thyroid issues, whether it's diagnosed or undiagnosed, suspected. And, you know, I always tell my clients when they're like, what can I do for my thyroid? Thyroid, just like any hormone imbalance, is not root cause, right? So I want women to understand that yeah, we can target the thyroid. You can go on thyroid medications, which I'm totally an advocate for. Like if you want to go on medications and that's going to help you, absolutely do that while you are still working on that underlying cause, right? There's no shame in that whatsoever. But even, you know, doing thyroid glandulars and stuff that like that, yeah, it can be helpful for sure, but it's not actually fixing the issue, right? And the issue with thyroid imbalances, predominantly, of course, toxins like, you know, chlorine and fluoride and things like that, gut dysfunction. I see a lot of liver stagnation, and this is why a lot of women will have thyroid issues and sex hormone imbalances. Like maybe they're not ovulating or they have estrogen dominance, right? Because that liver does so much for us. I always explain the liver like the intern at a startup. It has 500 jobs. And if you give it too much to do, it's going to get overwhelmed and do everything really badly. And that is what the liver is. Right. And so the majority, 70% of our T4 is converted to active thyroid hormone T3 in the liver, right? 20% in the gut, right? So if you've got these underlying gut issues, if you've got gut pathogens, if you have, you know, parasites or H. pylori or dysbiosis, right? That conversion is just not doing its job. If you are overwhelmed in environmental toxins or all these things that, you know, bung up our liver, if you're having a glass of wine with dinner every night, your thyroid conversion is going to suffer, right? Stress. I always say TSH is more of a brain marker than it is a thyroid marker, because it's that communication with the pituitary gland, right? So stress and HPA axis dysfunction really play a huge role. So I always want to encourage women to take a step back and think, you know, how's my liver? How's my gut? How's my blood sugar? I know you're like a blood sugar guru too.
I love.
How's my stress levels, right? And work from there, start from there. But to answer your question, I think, you know, first of all, in traditional medicine, I was taught that the ranges for what's considered normal change because they're based on the average population, right? And it's a very large range of what is considered normal, right? Compared to functional markers, it's much tighter. And so there's kind of like a running joke, I guess, in the alternative community where they say, oh, if you're diagnosed with hypothyroidism, just go to the next state and you won't be, because each state has their own
different
ranges. Yeah. So, you know, your doctor might say, oh, you know, your thyroid's normal, your blood work is normal, but you're normal in comparison to the population, and our population is not very healthy, right? So you're normal for an unhealthy person. So I think Yeah, it is environmental,
it's wild.
And it's a lack of solid diagnostics for sure.
And I just feel like we always look at just like what the thing is, right? This, like, we treat the symptom. We don't treat the whole thing. Like, talking about a lot of thyroid problems being liver problems is like mind blowing. And that just tells people, like, you can't heal your thyroid if you're doing things to your liver. And you have to consider so many things, like what you put on your body, what you put in your body, what you're eating, like all of those things. And, you know, I did an episode about healing my eczema, and I spoke to the fact that it takes a lot of work. That's why a lot of people sometimes tend to defer to the pills and such, because it just feels easier than having to take it all on. What would you say to someone that is feeling that way?
Like I said, even with, you know, going on thyroid medication, just as an example, right? There's no shame in that, but what you really want to, I guess, take into consideration is that you can do the work that's underlying while you are getting supported with medication, right? It's not, I feel like so many people think they have to choose. Either I go natural and holistic or I go traditional, and they forget that there's this whole middle ground where traditional medicine can be that support while you are doing the holistic things, while you're healing your gut, while you're working on your liver. So yeah, it is interesting. It is definitely like we are a microwave society, right? We want like those 30-second results. And I tell my clients all the time, you know, health is very, very simple. It is just not easy. That's why so many people bow out, right? You do the things, you do all the foundational things of what it means to be a healthy human. It's very, very simple, but will you do it, right? That's the hard part.
I feel like sometimes people think I'm ruthless when I tell them like what I did, you know, like personally, I'm having a conversation and they're like, well, how did you heal your eczema? Like, I want to heal mine. And I tell them and they're like, that sounds like so much. I'm like, well, kind of just like do it. But it's true. It's like, it's not hard. It's simple, but you have to change your whole like way of living generally. And that can be really hard for people. But for me, when I was healing my skin, I was just like, the desire to be, you know, discomfort and like pain free is like way supersedes any hardness that this might be.
Oh yeah. I mean, changing your health is more of a mindset exercise than it is the physical and what you do every single day, because again, it's like choose your hard, right? Having eczema is hard, right? It's having that pain is hard, but also working to heal the eczema is hard. So either way, you're in a hard position. Which one are you going to choose? Totally. Right. And again, it's like separating from that short-term mindset of, well, you know, it's hard to heal my gut over the next year, so I'm just gonna, you know, go for the cream or whatever it is. Right. So again, like having that mindset of, yeah, it's hard right now, but the rest of my life without eczema or without gut issues or without whatever it is, estrogen issues, painful periods, is going to be a lot easier because of that work I put in now. And again, that's like it does take a special type of person, I will say. It takes like that tenacity, that little bit of stubbornness, and just the willingness to like learn from the quote unquote failures and treat them as lessons and not actual failures.
Yeah. You got to really want it. You have to have your like pain has to be big enough or great enough for you to want it bad enough. So, I mean, I have my views on veganism, but what do you think about it being a healthy diet? Cause I take a lot of heat when I talk about my views on it.
First of all, I will preface this. I think it's honorable why people choose to go vegan. I was a vegan for years. I was a vegetarian all through my teenagehood, pretty much. I was a vegan when I was, you know, probably 24 and 25 for about 2 years. I was a vegan. So I get it. Like, I truly get it. But I've never felt worse. And I didn't quite equate it to that, because we get sucked up in all the propaganda around plant-based. And a lot of people don't realize there's a lot of corporations that are pushing that type of agenda, and it's not necessarily for the benefit of your health or the planet. And that's probably a topic for another podcast. But, you know, I guess clinically, I can say, aside from the science of what it means to be, I guess, nutritionally depleted from a vegan diet and from eating, you know, all those anti-nutrients and phytic acid and those really kind of hard to digest plants. Mm-hmm. Clinically, for a while, I actually stopped taking plant-based clients on because I didn't feel like I could help them the way I wanted to help them if there wasn't any leeway. And I also don't want to pressure someone into changing mm-hmm. their eating in that regard, especially when it's coming from like ethics, right? Yeah. And so anyways, I've worked with many plant-based women at this point, and I will say their labs are, I would put like money on my word on this, they're always the worst. I see a lot of copper
toxicity. Really? The worst?
Yeah. I see a lot of copper toxicity, especially with vegans. I see a lot of gut issues. Aside from gut issues in general, like, you know, dysbiosis and bloating and constipation, I see a lot of, you know, H. pylori come up. I see parasites come up just because it's just this knock-on effect of once you're a little bit weak, right? Those things have the ability to take over and yes. dominate you, right? And then once one thing's in there, it is this like knock-on effect. So yeah, I see a lot of issues with the plant-based clients we work with. Not to say that the meat eaters don't have their own issues. Obviously, that's why they're in the program. But mm-hmm. it takes a lot longer for them to get over it. They're typically very poor detoxers as well. And they start off a lot worse, typically.
Wow. And I think the problem with veganism and not in plant-based and all that is that a lot of the prepackaged foods and the things that are like, you know, it's like an egg, it's like a this, it's like a that thing. They're so full of like preservatives and additives and like fake foods that are really harmful to the body. And mm-hmm. I think the dubious part of it is that a lot of people are doing that thinking that this is good for their health. I know I certainly did. And then when I like started to really think deep into it and look at how I was like trying to heal my body and like what I was doing, like at first I was like, I should be drinking like just a good, like organic milk as opposed to drinking oat milk, you know, 100%. Like if you look at what's in oat milk and you look what's in like milk, it's like two ingredients, a zillion ingredients. And I also like had a lot of like apologizing to do because I was getting everyone on oat milk. I'm like, oat milk this, oat milk that. So I had to like go around and be like, actually, I'm going to take that latte with cream. Thanks. You know, but it's just like the vibe because it's just not that good for you.
No, it's not. And again, it's like, you know, taking a step back, and I always think, I mean, my family is Sicilian, very typical European culture. You know, I grew up in a very Mediterranean household, I guess you could say. And it's funny, like thinking back when I was a teenager and I was like, I'm a vegetarian. And I'd go to like Sunday dinner. And I remember one time, it was like one of my most profound memories. My nonna handed me beef. And I was like, no, I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat meat. And she goes, okay, have chicken then. And I'm like, no, that's still meat. Right. But it was like such a foreign concept.
Yeah.
To our elders, right. And to the people who really did live off the land and lived so much more holistically and naturally, that like, if I ever handed my grandmother like a Beyond Meat burger, she would be like, what the F is this? Get this away from me. Right. And our society keeps getting sicker and sicker. And so it's like, at what point do we take a step back and realize what this fake food is actually doing to us and how we've just kind of gotten away from really what our grandparents and great grandparents have done for so long and their ancestors beyond that.
Yeah. And it just like, it tastes better. I mean, I like, it just does. You can't deny it, but I mean, I'm sure I'm going to take some heat for that. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back to chat some more. Acne isn't from dirty skin, and eczema isn't from something on your skin. Skin is healed from the inside out. In the skin class, I'm going to share how I healed my eczema naturally. From what I wish I knew before I started on this healing journey, my daily eczema healing routine, and every single product I used on and in my body, recipes, including my homemade skin healing salve. This class will leave you feeling seen and like you finally have a real plan to heal. Head to biancaosborne.com/go/theskinclass to join now. And we're back. So one of the things that I think is plaguing so many women is period problems. So we're talking like PCOS, post-pill PCOS. I hear that one a lot. Why is this? Is the pill bad for us? What should we do about preventing pregnancy? If the pill is sort of like out of the question, are we just shooting in the dark?
Yeah, totally. And again, coming from a person who was on the pill for many years, no judgment. So, you know, again, this just goes back to like root cause. Why do people go on the pill? Yes, there are people who go on the pill for contraceptive and contraceptive alone. But the vast majority of people are not going on the pill for contraception as their first reason, right? It's acne, it's PCOS, it's painful periods, it's heavy periods. It's all these things that, again, don't just kind of come up out of thin air, right? There's a reason why your body is giving you that message. And that's all symptoms are messages. And it's up to us to take a step back and listen to that message and figure out what your body is trying to tell you. So I think the biggest, I mean, there's a lot of research done on birth control. And like we said at the beginning, you just take out your pamphlet if you don't believe me, like it's literally all there.
Yeah, it's
crazy. Not like we're making this up. But I mean, go on PubMed and type in like oral contraceptives and any like symptom, acne or I don't even know, IBD. There's lots of research on IBD and the birth control pill contributing to those types of gut issues. But I think my biggest bone to pick with birth control, and there's lots of bones to pick, but I think the biggest one is the fact that it is literally stopping ovulation, right? And it is stopping our natural hormone production.
Yes.
And I think this is such a misconception that women don't understand. And it's not women's fault because we have not been taught these things in school, right? We're not taught about our body. We're not taught about what ovulation is other than this very scary thing that can get you pregnant, right? We don't understand that you can't just get pregnant any day of the month. And that's always mind blowing for so many women to understand.
It was for me.
Yeah. Like finding out you can only get pregnant really 5 days a month is mind blowing for so many women. Right. And on the topic of ovulation, the whole point of the pill is to stop ovulation. And regardless if you want a baby or not ever in your life, it doesn't matter. We need to ovulate, right?
Yes,
we need to
ovulate.
We need to ovulate through our reproductive years because when you're not ovulating, you are not producing progesterone. And what is progesterone? It's my favorite hormone. It's very anti-anxiety. It's very sleep. It's very pro-thyroid, right? It is just such an amazing hormone that not enough women have. And then they start experiencing those symptoms related to estrogen dominance, right? Because they just don't have enough progesterone. So now their hair starts falling out or, you know, they're gaining weight or they're exhausted or their boobs hurt or they're constipated, right? And again, it's just like this issue that continues to be perpetuated. And so for me, you know, I didn't ovulate for 7 years because I was on the pill nonstop for 7 years.
That's so long.
So long. And then I'm like, oh my God, why is my body literally turning on me?
Yeah.
Well, I've lost out on 7 years of that really beneficial hormone being in my body, right? So I think that is like the biggest thing that women need to understand is that, you know, there are consequences to stopping your own hormone production, especially when it's in those teenage years when things are starting to really develop and you're starting to kind of come into your own and how that really can affect you the rest of your life.
And lots of things get missed when you don't get a period, you know, like if you went on the pill at 14 for really painful periods, that was probably the start of something that was just continuing to just grow and proliferate and become worse. And then when you go off the pill, you're like, why is it like this? Do I feel like I'm dying? It's like, this was happening all along. You just didn't know about it because of this pill that you were taking.
100%. That is such a good point as well. Even like, you know, my mom's a nurse. And so I grew up in a very traditional minded household. Like, did you ever have antibiotics? I cringe.
Oh my God.
The amount of antibiotics I had. Do you remember? I mean, do you remember the banana flavor?
Oh my God. I was just going to say Banana. I was actually taken off banana because I knew you could like push down and like twist. And I would just like sip it on my own accord, not
No,
say
I
anything.
remember. Again, core
So
memory
good.
activated. My brothers would be on antibiotics and I'd sneak into the fridge and like dip my finger in and like lick their
Oh,
antibiotic. Like cringe,
so
cringe, cringe.
good. So
But
creamy.
it's delicious. Flavor on point.
Yeah.
But anyways, going back to that, it's like, I grew up, you have a headache, we'll take an Advil. It was never like, have you had water today? Have you eaten? Like, did you get enough sleep? Like, what is
Totally.
going on? Are you totally depleted magnesium? Like, it was just a pill and it's going to take away that pain. And then the reason why I had a headache is never to be thought of again. Right. And that's, like you said, the same thing that happens with birth control. It doesn't actually fix anything. It just turns off your hormone production so that in
Totally.
10 years, when you decide to have a baby or you decide to come off of the pill, all of these things start to flare, not to mention the now plus 10 years that
Yes.
other things have been manifesting, right? So I think it's total BS when people, doctors, will claim that the pill has no bearing on our fertility. Maybe not directly, but when you come off the pill and your gut's a mess and your liver's congested and you're estrogen dominant and you're not ovulating anymore and you have post-pill PCOS, like go ahead and tell me with a straight face that it doesn't affect our fertility, please. Like drives me crazy.
It drives me nuts too. And also, I think that now that women are having babies later, they're coming off the pill later. So they're sometimes staying on it for it's 20 years.
Yeah.
Whereas before, maybe, in the 90s or the early 2000s, when maybe people were having babies a little younger, it meant that they weren't on it as long. But now it could be a whole decade longer being on it. And you're coming off it at 36, 37, and you're trying to have a baby, and you're already being told you're old. And then you come
Yeah.
off the pill and you have all these problems. It's like, shit.
Yeah, I know my mom actually, that's such a good point because my mom was on the IUD, I think it was for like 6 months after she got married. And then she started having kids, right? And they're
Yeah,
like
exactly.
never on it again. And yeah, that is such a good point. And I mean, again, there's studies you can look. It's quite shocking, actually. There was a study, I believe it was I think it was out of Denmark. It was in Scandinavia, in that region. It was out of Denmark and it studied the effect of women on birth control and oral contraceptives sick within 6 months of getting pregnant. And like the rate of childhood leukemia in their children went way up, like increased if the woman was on birth control within 6 months of conceiving, right? So there's just so many factors we need to take into
Oof.
consideration that, yeah, you've been so depleted. And you have no progesterone in your body at this point from years and years and years of birth control, not only impacting how quickly you're going to get pregnant. I think women, again, we've been feared into thinking pregnancy is so easy, right? And then the majority of women start and they're like, why am I not getting pregnant, right? And it just completely sends their whole timeline of what they expected. And then it's like you try for a year and now you're technically, diagnosed with infertility from your doctor. And it's like, well, where do you go from here? Do you spend 40 grand on treatment? Or do you say, okay, now I need to spend the next year, year and a half, working on the underlying cause of why I can't get pregnant, right? Either way, it's like, what are women expected to do at that point? We've just been so misled.
So misled. This is stuff that should be taught, quite frankly, when we're learning about sex ed. Like, this is sexual education. Sexual education isn't like, don't get pregnant. This is what happens on the 14th day, and then you have your period. Don't have sex because that, go on
Yeah.
the pill, and there's like no education beyond that. And I think we're not saying that don't, use contraception, but there's natural ways to prevent having a child that also work with our bodies as opposed to against it.
Totally. And again, it's like there's no judgment if you decide that the pill is the best route for you. I know a lot of women do it for pain management and endometriosis. And I get a lot of people on my Instagram, not so much anymore, I think, because I don't talk about the birth control pill. Maybe I should start talking about it more and, piss everyone off. But I'll always get a couple of comments or DMs like, the pill saved my life. It's like, I'm not taking that away from you. But like, if the problem I have is the lack of like informed consent, essentially. It's the 95% of women who are on the pill and don't realize what it's doing and don't realize till 10 years later, like myself, right? And I think like if you want to go on the pill after knowing X, Y, and Z about it, and you're going to support your body, or maybe you're not, that's your choice, then go on it. But mm-hmm. the fact that we're just like given this prescription, like candy at the age of 14 with really no questions asked, is like insanity to me. Right. And yeah. that's really who my page is for. Like, this is what I post on Instagram and why I got started. It's not for the woman who wants to come at me and say how the pill changed her life. Good. I'm truly happy for that. This page isn't for you then.
Totally.
This is for the 95% of women who have been misled and had no idea anything about their bodies.
Yeah. Wow. It's so true. That's so Instagram though. That's like the internet. You could say like, I love having, you know, beautiful plants in my home. People will be like, well, what do you have against flowers? I'm a flower person. I get flowers every day and it like changes like my attitude. It's like, nobody said anything I know. About flowers. We just said, yeah. if you like houseplants, come here, you know?
Yeah. And when it going back to the veganism thing, like if I post something about like meat or about like plant-based diets or whatever, it's like all these vegans just come out of the woodwork. It's like, why are you following me? Like, I'm not going on a vegan freaking Instagram profile and being like, I love red meat. Like, no, I just don't follow those people. Right. Like,
it's so simple. It's yeah. so simple. It's like life made easy. not everyone wants a life made easy. We'll just have to settle on that. Okay. So I had so many blood tests done when I was, cause it was like a year of me going back and forth to my doctor, to dermatologist being like, I don't think this eczema thing that is like covering my whole body is the cream is not working. Like it's not working. Yeah. And they're like, well, there's a prescription, there's a this. And we ran so many blood tests and every time they were like, these are normal ranges. They weren't. Because then mm-hmm. I took, finally once I was like, do you think you can just send me that blood work? Because this is like my fourth time. And he was like, fine, take it. I think he was like, he was annoyed with me. I don't think he was annoyed with me. So he sent me the blood work. I got a naturopath. She read them and she's like, holy fuck. Everything here is wrong. Like these are so suboptimal in so many different ways. Like no wonder your skin is feeling this way. Your body's feeling this way. So what blood tests should women get done if they're not feeling okay? They don't know why they don't feel okay. They've had blood tests run before. What are some blood tests that they can get done that can start to help them maybe see the light? And should they take it to someone other than a doctor to read it? We both know the answer.
Rhetoricals. Yeah. So, I mean, blood work can be helpful. I will say I don't use blood work a whole lot in my practice because, again, it doesn't really tell us a whole lot about a whole lot. Mm-hmm. You know, when something is high or low, there's like multiple reasons why that could be. And so I personally use more functional labs like the GI map and stool testing and, you know, the Dutch test and stuff like that. But thyroid panel for sure, which I mean, Joe Rogan did a podcast with this guy a couple weeks ago, and it was actually very good. I can't remember his name now, but he was a pharmaceutical rep. I'm not mm-hmm. going to get too much into it. You can listen to the podcast, but he talked about how the insurance companies basically control everything. Even they control pharma now, and how the insurance companies don't want these tests being run to be proactive. It's only, oh, you're sick. Now we'll run them. Yeah. And so I've been noticing that so many women would go to their doctors and ask for a thyroid panel, like a comprehensive one, and they just get TSH. And they'd be like, well, I kind of need a reason to order these labs. It all makes sense now after listening to the podcast. But a full thyroid panel, if your doctor is nice enough, if not, mm-hmm. you're probably going to have to go to a naturopath or a functional med doctor. Complete blood count, CMP, you know, just the basics for your metabolic markers, and your blood markers. And then, like I said, your thyroid is like bread and butter of what I like to see, mainly for validation for the client, but also again, mm-hmm. you can see like, is the T4 not converting to T3? Is this maybe liver issue, liver gut issue? Is this TSH? 'Cause you're so stressed out. Right. So that's what I would go to with blood work. But then again, like I said, I always want to kind of dig a lot deeper into the gut, into the minerals, into the even hormones. I don't run as often anymore because again, like, yeah, I can tell you that maybe your estrogen dominant, your progesterone's in the toilet, but what do we have to do here? We need to work on the gut. We need to work on the liver. We need to reduce yeah. your stress. We need to get you ovulating again. So yeah, I'd say really push for those more functional labs, but a traditional doctor is not going to run them.
And it's also about what you do about the information. Because it's like, once you get a full thyroid panel and you get your vitamin D tested and all that, what's the next step? Is it sort of like, okay, well, let's get you on metformin or whatever they'll put you on for whatever things, that might be the wrong drug, but let's put you on it to help fix this problem. Or versus, you know, maybe going to someone more functional that will be like, okay, well, let's look at your gut. Let's look at your liver. Let's look at some other things that could be influencing these readings.
Yeah, 100%. I think like with blood work, it's very easy for the practitioner or the doctor to, again, kind of do like band-aid solutions. Like even with vitamin D being low, it's like, well, vitamin D often is low because of low magnesium. It's often low because of inflammation, but instead they just put you on 5,000 IU a day and send you on your way. It's like, well, the reason why, unless you live in your basement, the reason why you're not, you know, synthesizing this D is probably not because you're not getting enough D, unless it's a genetic component. But again, I see that all the time. It's like, well, that's not really fixing anything. You might feel better on the short term, but like, are you still deficient in magnesium?
Well, everyone is. I feel like nobody's taking magnesium like they should and the amounts that they should. And I said this in the eczema glow up, you have to take magnesium if you're taking vitamin D, or else you are like not completing the loop.
Yeah, I mean, even sodium, potassium, when I run the hair mineral test, it's so many. I mean, potassium is one of the first things to go with stress, and we're never getting rid of stress, right? So how can we kind of mitigate it and manage it? But vitamin D supplementation reduces potassium, right? Vitamin D supplementation increases soft tissue calcification, right? So if you've already got these thyroid issues at play, that's just perpetuating it, right? And so even with magnesium, I always say, like, you need to be having those adrenal cocktails. You need to put sea salt on your food, in your water. Like, you can't be drinking dead water. You need to get that potassium up, because they're the body's great solvents. If you're totally depleted in sodium and potassium because you are a chronic stress head, your magnesium is just gonna, you're just going to burn through it, right? There's nothing to dissolve it. So it's just this like very intricate relationship with all these minerals and all these markers that, again, a lot of doctors will just miss. They'll just slap a supplement even on it and not actually, like, you know, take into consideration the relationships within the body.
I was actually advised to start drinking more San Pellegrino because there's such a high density of like the sodiums and the potassiums. Because I hate bananas. I hate like potassium-y foods in general. And that actually changed some of my levels in a positive way. But I looked up, because I think a lot of people are like, oh, every sparkling water is the same. They're not. There's so many. You want to, like, what I noticed, all the European brands, very treated in the best way, I would say, versus, you know, some of the more North American brands that are treated in not the best way. I don't want any heat at all. I do not want the smoke. So the last thing I'll ask about periods is that you mentioned so much in this podcast, we're talking about the liver, and I feel like the liver is the root of everything, you know, thyroid problems, like skin problems, like period pain, like the whole nine. So what are like a few things you would suggest to someone to help have a better period experience?
Yeah. So if we're talking about the liver specifically, I mean, I always say we can do all the things, we can take the supplements, but what we really want to work on is reducing the burden to that system. Right. And so again, it's like, you know, are you using toxic beauty products? Are you on tons of medications? Which, again, I'm not telling you to get off your meds, but if you're taking an Advil, like I used to all the time, I would take Advils just to make my period less heavy, right? Which, again, progesterone. But anyways, if you're taking these meds and you're just even just over the counter stuff that you don't really need, or you haven't really investigated why you need them or why you're taking them, you know, if you're drinking, you know, tap water that's full of pharmaceuticals and fluoride and chlorine, right? If you're doing all these things, but you're not reducing those things, right? You're still just putting more pressure on your body, on your liver. So always, always reducing exposures is my number one go-to. You have to do that first. And even, I mean, going into food, right? All the fillers and like all the chemicals that are in our food, the dyes, right? Your body doesn't need that. So always reduce exposure first. I love castor oil packs for liver support.
Love those.
Love them. Don't do them on your period because they'll make your period really heavy, but do them every other time. Don't totally. don't do them after ovulation if you're trying to conceive as well. So, but castor oil packs, flawless, love them. Flawless. Epsom salt baths, flawless, love them. Dry brushing, exercising. Again, like I feel like so many people have gone so anti-diet culture, which I'm here for it, but so much so that they're like, I'm not exercising. Like that's just vanity, right? No, we need to exercise. We need to move our body. We need to move our lymph. We need to sweat. We need to do those things. So I always say, get back to the basics. Think about your grandmother. What did she do? She moved her body. She walked around. She didn't eat fake shit. You know, she didn't probably drink a bottle of wine every night just to calm down. She probably wasn't working a 9-to-5. That was like completely killing her adrenals. I'm not saying quit your job, but if it's ruining your life, quit your job.
Yeah, facts.
So again, going back to the foundation, so many women want to skip to the fancy things. They want the hormone balancing supplement and they want to do all these things. It's like, but you're not even eating breakfast, right? Like you're intermittent fasting and calling it fasting, but it's just skipping meals. Like let's start calling it what it is, right? So again, going back to the foundations of what it means to be a healthy human, moving your body, eating well, eating breakfast, getting sunlight, managing your stress, and then start from there. Like get that down and then you can go to the supplements and all the other kind of fancier things.
It's so true. You speak so much wisdom. Thank you so much for being here. This has been so great. I feel like we've really fleshed out some things here today. Yeah. So tell everyone where they can find you. You know, if you have any programs starting that they can join, I know you always do. Tell people all of that stuff.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram, Life as Jen with two N's. I post tons of educational content. I think I'm pretty funny as well. So you can follow along with my stories. You can see my cute puppy. And I have a 6-month program. It's my only program I run that's one-on-one, fit and functional. We do functional lab testing. We work on the gut. We work on hormones. We work on minerals, all that fun stuff. And I do have a free Facebook community as well. So there's a couple different kind of places you can find lots of good free information to dip your toes into.
Awesome. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Glow Up Tips for the Girls podcast. If you like this podcast, and I really hope you do, please leave me a rating, a review, subscribe, share. I mean, open your window and just scream out, listen to this podcast. And if you have any feedback for me, please join me on Instagram at bianca.osborne, and you can give it to me there. The good, the bad, the ugly, I welcome it all. From my lips to your ears, shine on. See you next time.